Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the Feast of Saint Benedict. Magnificat magazine gives us a short summary of the marvelous Saint Benedict. He was born in Italy around the year 480. At Monte Cassino near Naples, he composed a rule to establish a school for the Lord's service. And the rule of Benedict, provides a practical guide for monastic life, establishing the rhythms of prayer and work and the right relations among the monks. For its moderation, its humanity, and sober discernment between the essential and the secondary in the spiritual life, his rule has retained its illuminating power even to today. And that's Pope Benedict XVI, who said that the rule written by Benedict for monks so many years ago, Pope Benedict says, its moderation, its humanity, and its sober discernment between the essential and the secondary in the spiritual life, his rule has retained its illuminating power even to today. The rule of Saint Benedict is very available. If you want to read wisdom, it's about the monastic life. But it's very, very good because it gives some principles in there of the spiritual life for all of us in general. You might find it very profitable reading. O God, says the opening prayer, who made the abbot Saint Benedict an outstanding master in the school of divine service, grant, we pray, that putting nothing before love of you, we may hasten with a loving heart in the way of your commands. Think about that, putting nothing before love of you. Now, if we go to Mass or we're daily Mass goers, that prayer is prayed on our behalf. We're participating in that prayer. Even if you're half listening, you're still there. And you need to hear the prayer being prayed. It's prayed for you on your behalf. We need to assent to it. And in that prayer for today, we say, O God, who made the abbot Saint Benedict an outstanding master in the school of divine service, grant, we pray, that putting nothing before love of you, we may hasten, we, all of us, may hasten with a loving heart in the way of your commands. Can you pray that prayer? Every day we start afresh. Every day we reorient, refocus ourselves. Who am I and where am I going? And what does God ask of me today that I may draw closer to him and that I may open the door for others around me who do not know him? What is God asking of me? So what we want to do is put nothing before love of him. Not popularity, not reward of some kind, not power. What in your life takes precedence over love of God? Think about that. It's a very worthwhile meditation. What in my life takes precedence over my love for God? In other words, there are things in me that I hunger for, thirst for, want, and when they come, I don't even think about God. I just grab hold of them. That's where you begin to fight with the enemy and say, get out of my life, you spirit of jealousy, envy, anger, lust, fear. Take authority over you, evil one, by the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I command you, lying spirit, to get out of my thoughts. You can do that by the grace of your baptism, but mean it. Never, ever let it be empty words. Those words are extraordinarily powerful. By your baptism, by your confirmation, You have the presence of God within you and the gifts and the graces of God. Put them to work on your own behalf. Our first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 23 to 33. In the course of the night, Jacob arose, took his two wives with the two maidservants and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had taken them across the stream and had brought over all his possessions, Jacob was left there alone. Then some man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. Some angel, perhaps? And when the man saw that he could not prevail over him, he struck Jacob's hip at its socket so that the hip socket was wrenched as they wrestled. The man then said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And the man asked, "What is your name?" He answered, "Jacob." And the man said, "You shall no longer be spoken of as Jacob, but as Israel, because you have contended with divine and human beings, and you have prevailed." Jacob then asked him, "Do tell me your name, please." And he answered, "Why should you want to know my name?" With that, he bade him farewell. Jacob named the place Peniel. "Because I have seen God face to face," he said, "yet my life has been spared." Sometimes we wrestle with God. Let God win. Brothers and sisters, let God win. Put down our pride and our arrogance and our self-sufficiency. Let God have his way, that you may know even more the fullness of life. At sunrise, as he left Peniel, Jacob limped along because of his hip. That is why to this day the children of Israel do not eat the sciatic muscle that is on the hip socket, inasmuch as Jacob's hip socket was struck at the sciatic muscle. They don't forget, brothers and sisters, how God worked in their ancestors. The Jews know how God worked, and they pay heed. Do we pay heed? By reading the Old Testament, do we see how God worked with all of our ancestors, all of us? Do we see how God worked and what God gives today and what God asks of us today? The Old Testament is not just the recording of what happened in history of God's work with his people. It's not just that. The Old Testament is showing us how God dealt with his people, what God asked of his people, what God's priorities are. We come to know God, and we can draw closer to follow him, not just because it's the law, but because we want to walk with him. We want to grow in intimacy with God. Learn from the Old Testament. What are God's priorities? How does God work? "In justice I shall behold your face, O Lord." Psalm 17. "Hear, O Lord, a just suit. Attend to my outcry. Hearken to my prayer from lips without deceit." When we have trouble, do we go to the Lord and ask him for help? And do we say, "Lord, hearken to my prayer from lips without deceit"? In other words, I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. Are my lips without deceit? If they have deceit, repent. So hear, O Lord, a just suit. This is, I need justice, Lord. Hear my cry. "From you let my judgment come. Your eyes behold what is right. Though you test my heart, searching it in the night, though you try me with fire, you shall find no malice in me." Can you make that prayer your own? "I shall call upon you. I call upon you. For you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my word. Show your wondrous mercies, O Savior of those who flee from their foes. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. I in justice shall behold your face on waking. I shall be content in your presence." It's not, "God, do this for me, do that for me." Just bring justice, Lord, and I shall be content. in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 32 to 38. A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Do you see, brothers and sisters, do you see they're jealous? When jealousy takes over in your life, it blinds you and it deafens you to the truth. They do not want to believe that this is the longed-for Messiah. It can't be. He wasn't going to come this way. At least in their minds, he wasn't coming in the way he came. They're angry. People are turning to Jesus. The Pharisees are jealous. And what do? They say, "The only way he drives out demons is by the prince of demons." In other words, he belongs to the devil. Don't pay any attention to him. They said that about Jesus. Do you see how our pride can blind us? Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. Every disease and illness. These are people, brothers and sisters, who are so poor. Many of them are nomads. They just depend on nature to provide enough rain and enough warmth and enough protection from the cold. They have nothing, brothers and sisters. They're poor, really poor. And so Jesus came to them and ministered to them. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. You and I may have many material things. Maybe we don't have all that we want. Maybe we don't think we have enough, but we have a lot more than most of the poor of the world. A lot more. Are we grateful for what we have? And when we are in need, do we look to Him? Do we honestly look to Him for help? Doesn't mean that you can't ask help from other people. Of course you can. But am I looking to Jesus as the source of all my help? Do I trust Him? Because it's often in our need that God uses our vulnerability when we're in need. He uses it to draw us closer to Himself. Allow yourself to be drawn. Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Troubled and abandoned is the way the world looks to me these days. We're sheep without a shepherd because we've rejected him. We've chosen to go on a different path, and we suffer. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Brothers and sisters, all of us are needed to bring the good news to the poor and the weak and the suffering. Open your heart and receive that you may give. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.